Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll check out the VA's Medical Foster Home Program and we'll learn about the UPS Veterans Hiring Initiative. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
I've had the privilege to see firsthand how the work of Minnesota's Yellow Ribbon Networks is impacting the lives of our state's military families. Yellow Ribbon Networks connect and coordinate agencies, organizations, resources, and employers for the purpose of proactively supporting service members and family members. Minnesota's Yellow Ribbon Network model is successful. To continue the success of our national model for communities, we are bringing networks together in a unique way. By way of regional summits, we are asking network leaders to identify new ways to synchronize efforts by sharing their best practices. We are providing an opportunity for them to build deeper relationships and discuss future partnership opportunities. Yellow Ribbon Network leaders in hundreds of Minnesota communities are essential in the sustainment of the Beyond Yellow Ribbon program. Reintegration of service members and their families hits hardest and is most profound at the local level. To all of you who have rolled up your sleeves and joined your local Yellow Ribbon Network, and to those of you who are supporting military families, thank you. Thank you for your continued efforts and your steadfast dedication to those who serve and have served our country. For those of you who want to join this fantastic group of people and connect with your local Yellow Ribbon Network, start by visiting beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now to talk about medical foster homes, an alternative for veterans, is Catherine West and Ken Merwin from the Minneapolis VA Hospital. Catherine, Ken, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Catherine, I want to start with you. Can you tell me how long have you been at the VA?
Yeah, I've been at the VA about 16 years in the Home and Community Care Program, and about since 2008 when we began developing Medical Foster Home.
And what's your educational background?
I have a bachelor's degree and a master's in clinical social work.
And that's the kind of that's the correct thing to get into medical foster homes?
Absolutely.
And I understand you started, you were there to help start this program.
I was. We began in 2008, we continue to grow and have a lot of interest, and we're very thankful for all the great outcomes.
And Ken, can you give us a little bit of your background?
Yes, sir. I'm starting my 16th year of VA employment just this month, actually.
And don't look any worse for the wear.
Thank you. My experience at VA, I was a staff nurse and transitioned into our education department, which we'll talk about later how that's come in handy in the medical foster home program. And I've been blessed enough to work with RED in our home-based primary care clinic, which is part of our medical foster home program, for about the last 6 years.
And how did you find out about this program?
It was actually part of my home-based primary care duties. It was new to me when I came into that clinic, and it's a wonderful adjunct to the home care services that we deliver through Minneapolis VA.
So you volunteered to get into this program?
Yep, pretty much.
Attaboy. And did I hear him call you Red?
He did. That's my nickname. Once you've met me, you can call me Red.
All right. That's Catherine West, also known as Red. Catherine, can you explain to me, what is the Medical Foster Home Program for veterans?
Medical Foster Home is basically the VA working with traditional family foster homes. So folks like you and I who would like to take care of up to three veterans in our home. In the state of Minnesota, the homes are all licensed, so that's very nice as well. They inspect the homes and we inspect the homes annually. These are just really wonderful families with great hearts of gold that we like to coin the term where heroes meet angels, in fact.
So these are actually families that are much like the old-fashioned foster home program for children, those type of things, and they bring people into their homes and they house them and feed them and love them and take care of them. And
absolutely. Very highly individualized care.
And the difference in this one is it's a medical foster home for veterans. Now, what type of veterans would be seeking this type of an arrangement?
Sure. Average veteran who is maybe not doing so well at home, they're forgetting meds, or They need support. They're feeling isolated. They're generally people who are starting to need help on a daily level due to either physical, cognitive, or emotional reasons. They're veterans that want to stay in a smaller care setting. They want to see stability over time. And hopefully, even as they change and even through their passing, the goal of staying in one same location with same caregivers surrounding them and their family.
So this is an alternative to actually being an inpatient at one of the veterans' homes?
It absolutely can be. Mm-hmm.
And these medical foster homes, do you have them all over the state?
Right now, Minneapolis is about 40-mile radius from the VA, but there's also locations in Sioux Falls, Fargo, and Iowa City is developing as well.
So if you run into veterans out at the community-based clinics, we try to keep them close to home. Is that part of the goal?
We sure do.
Okay, I want to dig into that just a little deeper. If you started this program how many years ago?
We started in about 2008. And we're up to about 32 veterans right now at this time in the program.
And how many homes do you have now?
We have 22 homes.
22 families that are actually mm-hmm. taking in veterans.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, more than one.
Yes. Many of them have even three veterans in the home.
My goodness, I don't think I'd want to ask my wife if she wanted three more veterans in the house.
It's a wonderful family environment. I have to say it's a lot of joy when we visit them.
My wife's probably got her hands full with one veteran. That's enough of that, I think. Well, that's wonderful. You've gone from nothing up to 22 homes, and you've placed a lot of veterans. Can you tell us if someone might be interested in being providing a foster home for veterans, what's the process they have to go through?
Absolutely, and we are certainly looking for more homes. We would encourage them to call our office at 612-467-2619, and we provide further education and do screenings. We're really looking for providers who have that heart of gold and they have skilled experience already. They might not necessarily be a formal licensed person, but they've cared for people. We love ranch homes. Obviously, they're very accessible for folks who need wheelchairs and helping that veteran age in place. So that would be one of the greatest ways that they could come and just inquire. We also have a website, so if they Googled Minneapolis Veterans Foster Care, there's a lot of good resource information there as well.
We're speaking with Catherine West and Ken Merwin about medical foster homes on Minnesota Military Radio. Ken, you've been with the program for a number of years. Are you involved with RED to help develop those the homes and find the caregivers?
I'm the public health nurse on the inspection team. So as Catherine mentioned earlier, all of our homes are licensed through their county and the state of Minnesota. And we do another level of inspections, both initially when homes come on board, but also it's annually. So my involvement with the caregivers is in an initial inspection capacity. And my job I see in that initial meeting is to encourage them to ask questions of us and to begin developing a relationship. The relationship between the foster care family and our home-based primary care team is essential. And as Red mentioned earlier, they don't have to be licensed caregivers as far as lots of experience. They have to be willing to learn. And my background in education at VA has been helpful in teaching caregivers to provide new and additional cares as people age and maybe even all the way through until they're passing.
So then you do provide some training to the folks that operate these homes.
Absolutely. Not only do we provide training as far as the skills they might require, but we have a very interdisciplinary team in our home care clinic that provides dietary services, additional layers of social work services, clinical psychology, rec therapy, OT. It's pretty extensive.
So Catherine, when you're first setting up a foster home, there must be a kind of a formal screening process you put these folks through?
There is. We do a formal screening and then application. I then pre-screen them on a visit, and then if they all looks good, I go out and we do a full team inspection of the home.
To make sure that the home is built correctly and has ramps if they need it and those
Absolutely.
Type of things?
Absolutely. There's a whole handbook of regulations just to make sure everything's really on the up and up.
And leave it to Minnesota to have a bunch of good-hearted people to volunteer to provide medical foster homes for our veterans. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll dig into this a little more and find out what type of veterans might be interested in a medical foster home in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking about medical foster homes as an alternative for veterans. And our guests today are Catherine West and Ken Merwin from the VA. Catherine, I wanted to ask you once again, medical foster homes for veterans, what is the mission and who's eligible for this program?
The mission of the program is to help serve veterans in a community setting, traditional family homes, and to help care for them every day as they age and need help, and just give them great loving care.
And these would be veterans that need something less than full-time care at the full-time homes.
These are actually veterans that we can serve up to 24-hour skilled level care, even, and even care through them, care for them through their passing.
And we've talked now about I related it to other foster homes, such as those for children. But you call them medical foster homes. So is there some level of medical knowledge necessary for the caregivers?
There is. I actually look for caregivers who have a history of taking care of people already and just that real willingness to continue to learn that individual veteran's care needs and just give them a lot of love and great quality care.
And Ken, in the first segment, you told me that there's some training provided initially and then ongoing. Is there some special training, maybe if they've got a veteran that has special needs?
Typically, when there is a need that is above and beyond the real basic needs, we will provide training in that direction, injections or special cares or devices and braces and things like that. And like Catherine said earlier, we are looking for people that have experience caring for people. That's the most important piece. Showing that willingness to take care of another human being. But above and beyond that, we can almost, with their willingness, if they're willing to serve our veterans as we are trying to help them do, we can teach them to do just about everything. Because like Catherine said, the care can go up to skilled care. We've had people that are actually quite complex in medical foster homes, veterans that outside of that setting would undoubtedly live in long-term care.
So it could be as simple as making sure they get the proper medications every day or maybe some injections for diabetes, those type of things?
Some of the basic stuff is supervision, medication administration, obviously meals and so on and so forth. But it can go all the way up to and beyond bathing and dressing and then the physical cares like catheters, diabetic cares, things of that nature.
That's a little more technical. Catherine, can you walk us through a hypothetical example of a veteran who might be placed in the medical foster home program?
Sure. On average, our veterans really are looking at that age 60 and above, and they may live alone. I'm thinking of one particular veteran. He lived alone in an apartment, and his health just really continued to change, and he had Parkinson's, and that particular veteran had some family that lived out of state. And he had a care episode that occurred and came into our VA hospital. And really, we talked about it, and he decided that going back and living alone wasn't so good for him. And we presented a lot of options for him, and he decided to give it a whirl and tour some of our medical foster homes and see about moving in and having his care done there where he has daily support from others.
So did he get a test period then where the caregivers got to meet him for a week or two and he got to meet them for a week or two and see if this works?
Absolutely. Well, that's what tours are for, and meets and greets. And then the caregivers come and meet that veteran and they continue to train and get to know them even before they move in. So they're pretty comfortable by the time they move in. But even after they move in, our home care team, we all keep continuing to help them build relationship and any training needs as they settle in. We're there long-term for the caregiver and the veteran.
Ken, you were smiling on that question. You must have been thinking about you had an old coot you were trying to put into the program and it didn't work or something.
Well, we have had some where it's not a perfect match, and we try to kind of massage that relationship and do what we can to make it a good match. The veteran that Catherine was referring to, I worked with him outside of medical foster home in our home-based primary care clinic. So I knew this individual very well. When he began to failure to thrive is what we call it, his upkeep of his own cares and stuff began to dwindle. He came into VA after a fall and was basically instructed that, you know, sir, it's going to be difficult for you to live alone very successfully. Typically, people wind up going to long-term care if that's the case. In this individual's situation, he opted to meet Red and tour a home. And we're both very proud to say that mm-hmm. we're serving him not only through medical foster, but the unique thing about our foster care program is that it's supported by our home-based primary care clinic, mm-hmm. which is an interdisciplinary team made up of a physician, a nurse practitioner, RN staff, LPN staff, social work staff,
psychology,
mm-hmm. our pharmacist, dietitian, and occupational therapy. So all these individuals already knew this gentleman as he was in our home-based primary care clinic, and then we followed him right into medical foster. But even someone that comes straight into medical foster is afforded the benefit of that entire team.
So you kind of knew the fit because you knew this particular patient.
In that particular yes. instance, we did. But Red and I, well, Red in particular, she works tirelessly to find that perfect fit for a veteran that maybe she's meeting for the first time that's interested in the program and a caregiver.
Now, I have to ask you, you provide some training for the caregivers, and on that side of it, do you have to take some of our veterans and say, okay, provide a little training for them and say, you're going into a new relationship, you have to behave.
We do talk about that a little bit.
We do. As civilians, or at least in my case as a civilian, sir, my 16 years of service to the VA has kind of indicated to me that these gentlemen and women like to be talked to mm-hmm. kind of matter-of-factly. So if, in fact, we feel that a little, hey, could you help us out here? We're trying to help you out. Conversation would be beneficial. That's the route we go.
We just talk about it.
And it seems to be quite successful, typically.
Well, all of us veterans at one point or another were trained to follow orders. So I think that's what you're trying to tell me, Ken.
So, sir. Yes, sir.
Get out there and be a good boy and follow mm-hmm. the rules and you'll have a nice life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Catherine, how long? What's the duration? Do you know yet? This is a relatively new program. Do some of these folks stay for years or how
yeah.
does it work?
I think our longest veteran came in 6 months after we started. So he's, 5.5 or 6 years with us. We generally see people staying with us through end of life at this point. So it's just really been an honor and a blessing to know that we, the caregiver, the home care team, that we can all continue to just evolve with that veteran as his care needs or her care needs change.
And if the veteran continues to deteriorate at some point, you might have to move him to a traditional veterans home, I would guess.
We actually don't.
You haven't?
That if they wish that, we certainly will. But the joy is that we can bring in equipment, make home adaptations. We can teach people to use lifts. There's a lot of things we can do. We'll also partner with community agencies like hospice to make sure that, you know, again, as that veteran's changing, we want to age in place with them.
Ken, we just got about a minute left. You've been smiling the whole time. I think you like this program and you're enjoying helping veterans.
It's a wonderful program. And just to kind of reiterate what Red had said, you know, that relationship that Red and our entire team establishes with the caregiver is what allows these veterans to stay in the home indefinitely, because as their care needs rise, we've already established with those caregivers, hey, we're here to support you in supporting this veteran.
We can't say thank you enough.
So once again, just like the children that grow up in the foster care homes, it's family.
It's family.
And it stays that way until you graduate and move on. And Catherine, I want to give the last comments to you. What do you think the future of the program is?
I think the future's bright. I hope to see us expand and continue to serve more veterans, continue to build bridges within the community, and just be here to serve. It's an honor.
Well, it's nice to meet both of you today, and I wish the listeners could see how much you're smiling, both of you, when you're talking about this program. You're clearly enjoying helping our veterans, and I'd like to thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Catherine West and Ken Merwin talking about the Medical Foster Home Program, an alternative for veterans from the VA, on Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back to learn about the UPS Veteran Hiring Initiative. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about the UPS Veteran Hiring Initiative. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
Wednesday, March 4th is Veterans Day on the Hill, sponsored by the Minnesota's Commanders Task Force, the United Veterans Legislative Council, and the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. This year, due to construction at the Capitol, the event will be held at the Cedar Street Armory starting at 10 a.m. This is a day veterans can come together and deliver a unified message to energize the legislature on veterans-related issues. Veterans will work together to garner support on initiatives that impact Minnesota veterans and their families. The event is open to the public, and veterans are encouraged to attend and meet with their legislators by appointment at the conclusion of the rally. For more information and to preview the 2015 legislative agenda, visit mnctf.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now to talk about the UPS Veteran Hiring Initiatives is Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach for the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program. Annette, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here.
How's everything going with our Yellow Ribbon networks and programs?
We're doing great. We're entering our sustainment phase for our Yellow Ribbon program across the state, and we're bringing together all of our networks in April and May to share best practices and to hear about initiatives that are happening across the state.
And you've got a special seminar coming up next week.
Yes. Twice a year, we gather all of our Yellow Ribbon companies together to do the same thing, to share best practices, to build relationships, and to update them on military support initiatives, federal, state, and nonprofit.
And I'll bet if you go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org, you can find out all about it.
Absolutely. We have everything on our website that we can connect any organization, any community, and any company to our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program.
And Annette, as usual, you brought a couple of guests with you today.
I did. Today, I'm very happy to bring along a partner, UPS, and Brian Ritchie and Rommel Carlson have joined me from UPS today. They are going to be starting the process to become a Yellow Ribbon company, and they're going to talk about that. But I also have wanted to highlight some of the great things that are happening over at UPS to support veterans, to recruit, hire, and retain veterans within the state and the nation.
Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Rommel, I want to start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about what's your position at UPS and how are you involved in veteran initiatives?
I'm the HR operations manager. My responsibilities are to recruit and staff pretty much every position that we have at UPS here in Minnesota and the surrounding states. So naturally, my involvement certainly in recruiting and hiring, and that includes veterans. Also, too, as you know, Brian's here, you know, with me today. He is a co-chair of our recently formed, we call them business resource groups or BRGs here within UPS. And so I'm certainly helping in that and the initial formation of that. And also, as Annette mentioned, you know, we're starting the Yellow Ribbon candidacy, if you will, and putting together our steering committee. So I'm involved in that too.
Thank you. And Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom.
I understand you're a veteran.
I am. Yes.
Can you tell us a little about your military career?
Sure. I was in the Army as a paratrooper, served in primarily with the 82nd Airborne Division.
And now your position with UPS, what do you do there?
I work in business development, and as Rommel mentioned, I'm also the chairperson for our Veterans Business Resource Group.
So my guess is you volunteered to be part of that.
I volunteered to basically start it because nobody had done it yet. So I initially was trying to volunteer to be a part of it and took the initiative to get it started.
Rommel, we're here with Annette, of course, part of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs, and you're just beginning to start the process to apply to be proclaimed Yellow Ribbon. How's that going, and how much work do you have in front of you?
Well, it's going really well. I mean, we're in initial stages. We just got our steering committee formed, and now we need to start looking at the action plans and. And that's guidance. We'll get that going. You know, I have to say, though, Brian certainly stepped up, you know, to lead the BRG. But that's what good military vets do. They show leadership. We're seeing that certainly in the vets that we hire. So, yes, he volunteered. Now, yes, we were kind of all looking at him, but he's done a great job co-chairing.
I really planted the seed, but I had a lot of help as well. So. You know,
from, the look on your face when I asked you that question, I'm not sure if you volunteered or you were voluntold.
In that case, I actually volunteered.
But those of us that are in the military understand the difference.
Yep.
So, Romul, I want to come back to you. UPS is part of an initiative called Joining Forces. Can you tell us about that?
Well, we've got a lot of initiatives around veterans hiring, and also internally with UPS as UPSers, as veterans, working with certainly other companies and working with veterans organizations, VSOs, and certainly the government. But the biggest thing, our biggest initiative right now is that we committed, in 2013, we committed as a company nationwide, not just Minnesota, but nationwide. You know, we committed to hire 25,000 veterans in 5 years. We committed to 25,000 associated, you know, volunteer hours. And frankly, that went so well. We actually increased our commitment now to 50,000 veterans hired by 2018, end of 2018. And with that 50,000 hours of volunteer service to vet organizations.
Now, my understanding is that UPS employs more than 24,000 veterans presently that represent about 7.5% of the workforce there.
Yep.
And you're going to roughly double that in the next few years, which is terrific.
Yep. And we're well on our way. We're almost three quarters of our way making our hiring initiative, you know, with a couple of years to spare. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep searching, keep hiring. You know, last year in Minnesota, we hired 9%, a little bit over 9% of our hires were veterans, about two-thirds part-time, third full-time. And that was about, and because of this initiative, that was about 30% increase from 2013, the amount of vet hires. So I'm getting reports every day on the veterans hired in the positions because, you know, we're actively searching. We have needs. We have openings. And it's just been a great partnership for us because it's not just a job. It's not just employment. We're hoping to get the message out that, you know, it's a career opportunity. You know, it's not just a part-time job or full-time hourly job. There are incredible opportunities at UPS, and we're just trying to get that message out for, you know, all our folks, but certainly for veterans.
We're speaking with Brian Ritchie and Romul Carlson from UPS on Minnesota Military Radio. Brian, I want to come back to you. It's in my understanding, and I think everybody in the country, is that the military is drawing down over the next few years, and there's going to be hundreds of thousands of veterans looking for jobs. And UPS is cross country, and of course, you just finished your busiest part of the season. So, yes. I would guess now you're focused on let's get ready for next year and let's hire some more veterans and get after it.
Definitely. And as Romul said, we're always looking to hire good people, and veterans are a natural fit for us. So we are eager to you know, bring as many in as we can and offer some positions that hopefully will turn into long-term careers for them.
Brian, I understand the UPS is involved with a number of military support initiatives. Can you tell us about some of those?
Absolutely. Just locally, a lot of things that we're doing. We work with Paralyzed Veterans of America. We do a lot of partnerships with them as far as volunteering. We've worked with Mission Continues, with American Red Cross, a number of different organizations like that that we try to partner with and really, you know, work within the veteran community. ACP is another one where we've dedicated a lot of local folks to mentor other veterans that are transitioning out of the military right now. And of course, the big one is trying to become a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company. You know, we hear all the time that people are hesitant to let their employer know that they're a veteran, and we want to really make sure that people understand that we are a veteran-friendly employer and get that word out. And I think Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a big piece of that.
Sounds like UPS has embraced the veterans and understands that most of the veterans come back are normal and disciplined and work hard. And absolutely. I'm reading from one of your articles here, but it says most of your positions today, you're looking for leadership, technical expertise, grace under pressure, a mission-oriented mindset, diverse points of view, and problem-solving abilities. And you do find those kind of skills and values in the DNA of veterans, don't you?
We do, absolutely. And I think you're quoting from our president of U.S. Operations, Myron Gray, there. So this is an attitude that comes all the way from the top of our organization. I think everybody sees the value in hiring those veterans.
Annette, we're going to have to go to a break in a minute, but UPS certainly sounds like a star that should be proclaimed Yellow Ribbon, and I'm glad you're working with them.
Absolutely. Our companies are across Minnesota. We already know they're doing these great things. Becoming a Yellow Ribbon organization really helps pull that all together and allows them to share these best practices with other organizations.
Annette, gentlemen, we have to take a short break. We're speaking with Brian Ritchie and Rommel Carlson from UPS. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking to Brian Ritchie and Rommel Carlson from UPS about their veterans hiring initiatives. And Rommel, I want to just go over once again, you're part of the Joining Forces Initiative, and your hiring commitment now stands at 50,000 veterans and your service commitment at 50,000 employee volunteer hours by the end of 2018. That's a major commitment.
Yeah, you know, it is, but, you know, we're already almost three quarters of the way in the hiring initiative, and we're even closer to the volunteer initiative. So it's the second time we've upped the ante, so to speak. You know, before it was 25,000, but, you know, we know the value of a veteran as an employee and a UPSer, and we also know the value of the volunteer hours and the giving back to that community and that group. So it's a pretty easy lift.
Now, Rommel, you're the HR manager here in Minnesota, and you've got multiple facilities all over the state. Are you looking for some people, looking for some good veterans?
We are looking for some good veterans, Tom. And we've got a little over 30, you know, facilities around the state of Minnesota. You know, that includes, you know, greater Minnesota, you know, any pretty much sizable town or city, we probably have a building there. And, you know, it's not just, you know, it's part-time opportunities, you know, permanent opportunities, some full-time. But what we want to get the message, you know, to your listeners is that, you know, again, it's not just, we're hoping not just a job for our veteran hires and our, it's an employee, but it's also an opportunity for a career. I mean, all of us, UPS is a very strong culture of promotion from within. I started as an hourly employee. Most of my, 99% of my colleagues in the management group did as well, loading trailers. But that's the entry point. You know, there are opportunities, so many opportunities after that, especially for our veterans, because they fit what we're looking for. I mean, people have talked about before, you know, the leadership qualities, the problem solving, the technical expertise, the character. I mean, that's UPS. That's the people that thrive in our environment. And frankly, we need more of them. And throughout, you know, depending upon what part time of the year is, we're hiring in virtually all those facilities at one time or another throughout the year.
So your process is a lot of your folks start out as part-time, and as they prove themselves and show that they can take on more, then your culture is to hire within, promote from within, and those part-time jobs become full-time jobs and move their way up to as high as they can go.
You bet. And we're seeing, you know, we're no different than any other company right now with the baby boom and folks starting to get out of an age to maybe retire and so on. We've got a lot of, frankly, we've got a lot of openings, and particularly in our part-time supervisor position, which typically we draw from the part-time, you know, inside, you know, hourly position. Now, I can't remember any other time where we hired off the street for that job because our, you know, our benches are thin. We don't have enough, you know, people. I've got positions right now in Minneapolis for part-time supervision that we're likely going to have to, well, we are, you know, looking for folks, you know, outside the company to fill.
Brian, a good place to work, good company, good benefits?
Absolutely, Tom. You know, they take good care of all their employees, and especially with our veterans, there's some extra things that we offer, things like the differential pay for those who are on the guard or reserves who might get deployed. In addition to that, we extend the life insurance and the dependent care for their families while they're gone. And of course, with just the resources and everything that we provide for the employees and for the veterans, it's been absolutely great. They've taken great care of me since I've been here. Excellent place to work.
You guys look like you're pretty excited about becoming a Yellow Ribbon company here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I am. Absolutely. I think it'll be a great step for us, great recognition for the company to show what kind of things we're doing for the veterans.
And Rommel, if our listeners are interested, they should go to upsjobs.com. Is that the best place to start?
That's the best place to start, upsjobs.com. And if you're a veteran, you'll see a veteran link. There's a special spot in our page to review more information for our veteran potential applicants. So upsjobs.com, and believe me, we'll see them.
We'll have a link to that upsjobs.com on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page. Brian, we're just quickly running out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I just want to thank everybody for listening today and look forward to hopefully seeing some of those applications coming in through our through the site and working with some more veterans.
Rommel, any final thoughts?
Just thanks for the time, and we want to be known as a company that's, you know, certainly military veteran friendly, but you know it's hopefully good for our employees and veterans too that UPS is a good fit for them. We're a good fit for UPS because history has shown they're a great UPSer, and we need more of them.
Annette, I think you've done it again. What another great Minnesota company represented here that is going to be a wonderful Yellow Ribbon company to add to your group.
Absolutely. UPS really shows how an organization can support our service members and their families and to hire, retain our veteran employees. And they know the value that a veteran can bring to their organization. So having them become a Yellow Ribbon company really just helps us get them with other Yellow Ribbon companies to share best practices and for us to tell their story and to match them with great veteran job seekers.
Well, you've done it again, Annette. You're off to the races again. I don't know. How many companies are we up to now?
We are up to 42 companies have become Yellow Ribbon companies, and we have 95 networks in communities and counties across the state, and they're doing an amazing job. This has become a national model for community capacity building in ensuring that we can connect resources for our military-connected people in our state.
And that, just a few seconds left, we have a Yellow Ribbon Company seminar coming up next week.
Yes, March 6th, we have a Yellow Ribbon Company seminar. We bring all the companies together to share these wonderful, great best practices, such as UPS has. Allianz Life Insurance is going to be the Yellow Ribbon Company that's hosting us this time. And they're going to be sharing their best practices, and we're going to be able to highlight many of the initiatives we have for military support in the state.
And details of that are available at beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Yes.
Annette, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us here in the studio.
Yep, thank you, Tom.
Thanks for having us.
This is Brian Ritchie and Rommel Carlson from UPS on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is David Anderson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Wadena County Veteran Service Officer. David, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. How are you today?
We're doing great and always happy to have you on so that we can talk to our veterans about county veteran service officers. Every veteran needs to go visit their county veteran service officer, don't they?
Yes, that's a very true statement. Yes, it is.
And what could they expect to learn from a county veteran service officer? All of the resources available to take care of veterans?
Yes, anything that they need, from anywhere from compensation to pensions, loans for VA loans and things like that.
And you and your fellow county veteran service officers spend a lot of time researching and learning about all the resources available.
Yes. It takes, just to be fairly comfortable with this job, it takes at least 2 years of on-the-job training.
David, I know you wanted to talk today about a property tax exclusion for veterans. What's that all about?
Well, property tax exclusion for veterans, it's for any veteran that's service-connected at 70 to 100%. Those would be the one who would qualify. Now, with the property tax exclusion, what they will do is if you're 70 to 100% service connected, you will get $150,000 off the value of your home. So if you have a home in town that's worth $125,000, you wouldn't have any value to that home, so your property taxes on the home itself would be zero.
So for our seriously disabled veterans, that's quite a good benefit, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, if you're 100% service-connected and what's called permanent and total, they will take up to $300,000 off the value of your home. If you're 100% service-connected and permanent and total, you do not have to reapply for property tax exclusion. You just need to apply once in your lifetime. Now, that also is for individuals that are less than 100% service connected, but are being rated at 100% on what's called individual unemployability. So say you're rated at 80% and because of your service connected disabilities, there's no way you can work. and they've rated you unemployable, permanent and total. Also, that $300,000 grant or exclusion is taken off the value of your home.
So once again, if you're interested in finding out about the property tax exclusion, if you're 70% disabled or more, go talk to your county veteran service officer.
You hit the nail on the head.
All right, David, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, Tom, you have a great day.
You too. Thank you. That was David Anderson, president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Brian Ritchie and Ronald Carlson, Catherine West, Ken Merwin, David Anderson, Commissioner Larry Shelletow of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about flood preparedness with the Minnesota National Guard, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Minnesota Department of Transportation. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.